All, therefore, who wish to remain Christians must be aware of their serious obligation to avoid those false principles which our predecessors, especially Popes Pius XI and Pius XII, have condemned in the past, and which we condemn once again. 132. We know that many of our children who live in want or great misfortune often protest that the social teachings of Christianity have not yet been fully put into practice. Private citizens, and more particularly public officials, must take steps to see that the Christian social doctrine which our predecessors have often clearly and wisely taught and decreed, and which we have confirmed, is really given full effect. 65. Although this will have to be done gradually, no time should be wasted. 133. We are also and equally concerned for the lot of those who are forced to leave their native lands, because they cannot earn a living there, or because of intolerable conditions and religious persecution. They must undergo many inconveniences and hardships when they go from their native land into foreign countries. Oftentimes, in crowded cities, and amid the noise of factories, they must lead a life very different from the one they once knew. 134. At times, and this is more serious, they find themselves in an environment that is hostile and hurtful to Christian virtue. In such surroundings many are led into serious danger, and step by step, turn away from the wholesome way of life and the religious practices which they learn from their elders. Since husbands are often separated from their wives and parents from their children, the bonds and ties that hold them together are stretched thin and serious injury is done to the family. 135. We give our paternal approval to the competent and effective work of those priests who have become voluntary emigrants out of love for Jesus Christ, and in obedience to the instructions and wishes of this apostolic see. These priests have spared no effort to ascertain and serve, so far as they can, the social and spiritual needs of their flocks. Thus, wherever the emigrant may journey, he sees the Church's love for him, and discovers that this love is even more evident and more effective when his need for care and aid is greatest. 136. We have also observed with great pleasure the praiseworthy steps various nations have taken with regard to this important matter. A number of countries have recently adopted a common plan and program to bring this critical problem to a swift and happy conclusion. We trust that these measures will make it possible for immigrants to enter those lands in greater numbers, and with greater ease, but we are even more concerned that they provide for the happier union of parents and children as a family unit. Once these sound steps are taken, it will certainly be possible to make adequate provision for the needs of the immigrants, in religion, in morals, and in economic matters, and this, in turn, will benefit the countries which receive them. 137. We have exhorted all our children in Christ to avoid the deadly errors which threaten to destroy religion and even human society itself. In writing these words our thoughts have turned to the bishops, priests, and laymen who have been driven into exile, or held under restraint, or in prison, because they have refused to abandon the work entrusted to them as bishops and priests and to forsake their Catholic faith. 138. We do not want to offend anyone. On the contrary, we are ready to forgive all freely, and to beg this forgiveness of God. 139. But we are conscious of our sacred duty to do all that we can to defend the rights of our sons and brethren. Time and time again, therefore, we have asked that all be granted the lawful freedom to which all, including God's Church, are entitled. Those who support truth, justice, and the real interests of men and nations do not refuse liberty, do not extinguish it, do not suppress it. There is no need for them to act this way. The just prosperity of their citizens can be achieved without violence, and without oppressing minds and hearts. 140. There is one truth especially which we think is self-evident, when the sacred rights of God and religion are ignored or infringed upon, the foundations of human society will sooner or later crumble and give way. Our predecessor of immortal memory, Leo XIII, expressed this truth well. It follows that law becomes ineffective and all authority is weakened once the sovereign and eternal rule of God, who commands and forbids, is rejected. 66. Cicero expressed the same idea when he wrote, "You, the priests, are protecting Rome with religion more effectively than she is protected with Wall 67:141. As we reflect on these truths, we embrace with deep sorrow each and every one of the faithful who is impeded and restricted in the practice of his religion. They indeed often suffer persecution for justice's sake, 68, and for the sake of the kingdom of God. We share their sorrows, their hardships, their anxieties. We pray and beseech heaven to grant at length the dawn of a happier day. We earnestly desire all our brethren in Christ and our children throughout the world to join us in this prayer. For thus a chorus of holy entreaties will arise from every nation to our merciful God and win a richer shower of graces for these unfortunate members of the mystical body of Christ. 142. But we ask our beloved children for more than prayers. We wish to see a renewal of Christian life. This, far more than prayer, will win God's mercy for ourselves and our brethren. 143. We wish to repeat to you again the sublime and beautiful words of the Apostle of the Gentiles. Whatever things are true, whatever of good repute, if there be any virtue, if there be anything worthy of praise, think upon these things. 69. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. 70. That is to say, put on therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace, indeed, you were called in one body. 71. 144. If anyone is so unfortunate as to wander far from his divine Redeemer in sin and iniquity, let him return to him who is the way, and the truth, and the life. 72. If anyone is lukewarm, slothful, remiss, or neglectful in the practice of his religion, let him arouse his faith, and, by the grace of God, nurture, rekindle, and strengthen his virtue. He who is just, let him be just still, and he who is holy, let him be hallowed still. 73. This is our earnest plea. 145. There are many today who need our counsel, good example, and assistance, for their lot in life is unhappy and miserable. Do you all, therefore, within the limits of your abilities and resources, perform the works of mercy, for they are most pleasing to God. 146. If each of you strives to accomplish all this that we have recommended, there will shine forth anew in the Church that which was expressed so wonderfully about Christians in the Epistle to Diognetus: they are in the flesh, but do not live by the flesh. They dwell on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. They obey valid laws and even go beyond the demands of law in the conduct of their lives. They are not understood, and yet they are condemned. They are put to death, and yet their life is quickened. They are poor, and yet they make many wealthy. They lack all things, and yet they have all in abundance. They are dishonored, and yet in the midst of dishonor they find honor. Their good name is railed at, and yet is presented as evidence of their justice. They receive rebukes, and give blessings in return. They suffer abuse and offer praise. When they conduct themselves like honest men, they are punished like criminals. While they are being punished, they rejoice as though they are being rewarded. To express the matter simply, what the soul is to the body, Christians are to the world. 74. 147. Many of these sublime words apply in a special way to those who are members of the Church of Silence, for whom we are all especially bound to pray to God, as we recently urged in our addresses to the faithful in St. Peter's Basilica on Pentecost Sunday 75, and on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus 76. 148. We anticipate that all of you will achieve this renewal of the Christian life, this holiness and virtue, not only you who remain steadfastly in the unity of the Church, but all you who with love of truth, and with a sincere goodwill are striving to attain it. 149. With all the love of a father, we impart the apostolic blessing to each and every one of you, venerable brethren and beloved sons. May it be the occasion and forerunner of heaven's blessings. 150. Written in Rome, at St. Peter's, on the 29th day of June, the Feast of the Apostles Peter and Paul, in the year 1959, the first of our pontificate.